I have a question I'd like to answer. My sister, God bless you for the work you're doing. God bless you. I really mean that. May the Holy Spirit remind me to speak slowly so that my sister's work is not too difficult. I have a question I'd like to answer. It was submitted to us. And thank you for letting me get up on time. I'm very grateful. I am not an Adventist. Is worshiping on Sunday bad? Let me pray. Father, I have no natural wisdom. I need your wisdom, as promised in James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I am asking God, give me wisdom, Father, not for my sake, that I might speak the truth, that you might be glorified and your people blessed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, listen to the question. Listen microscopically. Is worshiping on Sunday bad? I'm going to give two answers. Follow me closely. Worshiping on Sunday is not bad. Worshiping on Monday is not bad. Worshiping on Tuesday is not bad. Why am I saying that? How many days should we worship God? 7. How many hours in the day? 24. Worship is not simply a church service. Worship is a lifestyle. Did you get what I just said? Because the heart and soul, the foundation stone of worship, is obedience to God. So when the question says, is it bad to worship on Sunday? I say no, because worshiping God is never bad on any day. But what the question perhaps should be, should I regard Sunday as the Sabbath? What's the answer? No, because it is not. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Question for you, on what day do Christians celebrate Easter? What day? Sunday. On what day do they celebrate Good Friday? Friday. What's the day between? That's the Sabbath. Have you heard of any church celebrating Easter on a Tuesday? On a Monday? It's always on a Sunday. Why? That's the day on which Christ rose. He was crucified on a Friday. Christians celebrate Good Friday, even though the Bible does not call for it. It does not call for Easter either. And so the question is, it intended to be a trick question, but it can confuse the hearer. Worshiping God must be done 24 hours a day. When you obey, you're worshiping. When you eat, as the Bible recommends, you're worshiping. When you dress modestly, you're worshiping. Now, he goes on, since God says keep the seventh day Sabbath, and Sunday is the first day of the week. Okay, is worshiping on Sunday bad? I dealt with that. Two, what is going to happen to those of us who worship on Sunday? Are we going to be punished for that error? Take a deep breath and get ready to hate me. If you deliberately regard Sunday as the Sabbath, what's the key word? Deliberately. Which means you are aware that it is not, but you still do it. Because your reason is, I was born a Baptist, I'll die a Baptist. I was born a Presbyterian, I'll die a Presbyterian, no matter what the Bible says. I was born a Pentecostal, I'll die a Pentecostal. If that is your attitude and you are in willful disobedience to God, how can God take you to heaven? Willful disobedience. And so the question says, What is going to happen to those of us who worship on Sunday? The question is, do you know better? If you don't, here's what Jesus says in John 15:22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Now, let's modernize that. If Randy Skeet had not come at God's command to speak to you, you would have been ignorant. But now he has spoken, you have no cloak for your sin. And so my answer is, those who disobey God will be destroyed. Those who deliberately, listen to this verse and tell me if those people will go to heaven. Just listen. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. The Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, there are people who are willingly ignorant. Don't tell me I don't care. If I accept the truth, you will upset my life. I may have to give up that man. Willful disobedience brings destruction. Now, ignorance is not a virtue. God wants all people to know what's right and wrong. That's why he arranges meetings like this. If you know the seventh day of the Sabbath and you deliberately observe Sunday, you cannot be saved. Let's see if there's anything else. Yes. Can I serve God and keep his commandment? I have tried but fell so many times. Please, what should I do? I love that question. Go to 1 John chapter 5. Let's read verse 2. 1 John 5. Let's read 3. 3 of 1 John 5. You have 1 John 5 towards the back of the Bible. I must respect you for your consistency in not answering me. Do you have 1 John 5? Okay. Verse 3. Nice, loud, and clear. What does that say? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Now pause. Read microscopically. Finish the verse. And his commandments, come on, are not grievous, meaning they're not hard, they're not burdensome. Listen to me carefully. I need time for the message. His commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. You know what's hard? This. Here are the commandments. 10. Here's my heart. I am hard-hearted by nature. And so I blame the law. When God came down to talk to Adam and Eve after they sinned, God told Adam, what did you do? What did Adam say? He blamed God and Eve. When God spoke to Eve, she blamed the serpent. Sin has created in us the skill of blaming others. And so we blame God's law instead of blaming our hard-heartedness. And so we say, Lord, your law is too high. Bring it down to suit my corrupt nature. No, God gave us the gospel to bring us up to the high standards of God's law. Are you following me? And so this person who said, can I serve God and keep his commandments? That's the only way to serve God. By obedience. You cannot serve God by disobedience. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. The Bible says it is better to obey than to offer sacrifice. By the way, including the sacrifice of Jesus. Listen to me carefully. Because if Adam had obeyed, there would have been no need for the sacrifice of Calvary. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Now, what this person has to do, and you and I should do, ask God to put his law where? Yes. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure bringeth forth good things. For many of us, the law of God is in the Bible. God needs it here. Notice it is he that writes it. You and I cannot write God's law on our heart. We cannot, because we don't want to. And God has to do it. And so if you're failing and you're failing, make sure your life is 100% surrendered to God and ask God to do what he promised. Write his law on your heart. And the Bible says, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, finish the verse. Yes. And writing God's law on our heart is absolutely the will of God. So if you find yourself falling all the time, say, Father, write your law on my heart. All right. Our subject for today, you can trust God. What did I say? You can trust God. Let me pray. Father, look down upon me with mercy and favor. You promised, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Fulfill that promise for me now, not for my sake, but that you may be glorified, dear God. If I've offended you, forgive me. That's why Jesus died. Now, dear God, even though I am your son, I still have a carnal nature that loves to exalt itself. Take that nature by the throat and choke it into unconsciousness, that as I speak, your glory will be my only business. Let angels stand around me to protect me, and also around those who are listening. Keep back the devil and his angels, that we may worship in an atmosphere of truth. Bless the host country of Nigeria, dear God, north, south, east, and west. If someone in Nigeria has been kidnapped, deliver that person, dear God. Please, because you're merciful, God. Even if the person does not believe in you, because your word says he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Just be merciful, Father, just for the sake of mercy. Now speak through me. Put a double blessing on all our guests and your sweetest blessing on the children. In Jesus' name I pray, let God's people say, amen and amen. Mm-hmm. God is good and all the time. Go with me to Romans chapter 9. We'll read from verse 1. What's our subject? You can trust God. Romans 9, reading from verse 1. It is now precisely by my watch 4:45. I'll release you by 5:30. If that's okay, say amen. Amen. Students, I continue to pray for you that God will make up any deficit you feel you incur by giving some time to this service. Don't worry. Just study. What book did I say? What chapter? What verse? Now read carefully. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and sorrow of heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Now what is Paul saying? I am willing to be cursed by God if that's the price required to save all Israelites. But notice how he begins. Read verse 1 with me if you have my version. I say the truth. What's the next few words? In Christ. He calls upon Christ. I lie not. I am not lying, says Paul. My conscience bearing me witness. Next few words. In the Holy Ghost. He calls upon Christ. He calls upon the Holy Ghost to witness that he's not what? He's not lying. Now listen carefully. Let no one distract you. Paul said, I am not lying. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read verse 31. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, reading verse 31, our subject, you can trust God. A lot of people who go to church do not trust God. I can understand the unbeliever not trusting God, but if you're a child of God, you ought to trust God and save yourself a lot of headaches. What book did I say? 2 Corinthians, what chapter? 11, what verse? 31. The Lord, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth, finish the verse, that I lie not. Paul says, God knows. Now, in Romans 9, verse 1, he calls upon Christ. He calls upon the Holy Ghost. In 2 Corinthians 11, 31, he calls upon God the Father. The Father knows I'm not lying. Christ knows I'm not lying. The Holy Ghost knows I'm not lying. Go to Galatians 1. Let's read verse 20. Our subject, you can trust God. My friends online, I hope you're still with us. My little brothers and sisters, stay with us. You have a Bible, open it, try to find a verse. What book did I say? Galatians. What chapter? 1. What verse? 20. Read with me. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Now, Paul had this burden to convince his readers that he always wrote the truth. And he calls the heavenly family to witness, I am not lying. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2. Remember the three favors, I missed them. Turn this off if you're not using it. Turn it down if you're using it. Ask God to put his words in my mouth. Jeremiah 1 verse 9. And please think. What book did I say? 1 Timothy chapter verse 7. Whereunto I'm ordained, read with me, I say this, I speak the truth in Christ. Finish those words. I lie not. Stop, that's enough. How many times have we read that? Give me the verses. Romans 9, 1. Next one. 2 Corinthians 11, 31. Next one. Galatians 1:20, the fourth one. You have it right in front of you. Now, keep this in mind. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, come on, every word shall be established. How many witnesses have we had? Four. Romans 9:1, 2 Corinthians 11:31, Galatians 1:20, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. In other words, based on the Bible standard, what Paul is saying is reliable. We have four biblical witnesses that Paul did not lie when he wrote. Are you thinking? Please say yes. If Paul did not lie, we can trust whatever Paul said. Because his witnesses are the Father, come on, the Son, come on, and the Holy Ghost. When God is your witness, who can argue with you? The Bible says God was a witness to the righteousness of Abel and Enoch. And God wants to witness to your righteousness and mine, which is the righteousness of Christ. God, Christ, the Holy Ghost were witnesses. Paul was not lying. Now, having said that, let's go to Romans chapter 3. We'll read verse 12. Romans 3, verse 12. Remember, if I go quickly, tell me slow down. Will you do that? Or are you too polite? Politeness is good, but don't take it too far. If I go too quickly, say slow down. I want you to get this. That's why I'm here. What book did I say? Romans. What chapter? 3. Let's read verse 12. How shall we read? Microscopically. What does that verse say? They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, not one. Keep this in mind. Do not lose Romans 3:12. Go to Psalm 14, verse 3. Don't lose Romans 3:12. I want us to compare. There'll be no contrast. Just compare. Psalm 14, verse 3. Our subject, you can trust God. Do we have Psalm 14? This mic is not working. I know it isn't. You and I will fight until I leave. And whatever I'm leaving. Now, let's read Psalm 14, verse 3. Are you ready? Read with me. They are all gone aside. They are become filthy. Finish it. There's none that doeth good, nor not one. What do you notice? When you look at Romans 3:12 and Psalm 14:3, what do you notice? It's the same thing. So what is Paul doing? He is quoting, come on. But where's Psalms? Yes, come on, think. Where is Psalms? What is Paul quoting from? What did we learn about Paul? Come on, what did we learn about Paul? He does not lie. Then can we trust what he quoted? Yes. It's not in the Bible, but I like it. Now, let's go to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Our subject, tell me quickly. You can trust God. I only ask intelligent people to answer quickly. I want you to understand that. Are you following me? That's why I always ask you, answer quickly. Nobody said amen as usual. But God bless you nonetheless. What book did I say? Galatians, what chapter? 3. Let's read verse 6. When you found it, say amen. Amen. Read with me, people who have my version. Even as what? Abraham. And it was? For? Keep your finger on that verse. Don't lose it. Go to Genesis 15. Do not lose Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Keep your finger on Galatians 3:6. Now, let's go to Genesis 15:6. And try to look at both verses as we read. Read verse 6, Genesis 15. What does the Bible say? And he believed in the Lord. Finish it. And he counted it to him for righteousness. What do you notice? Paul is quoting, come on, from the Old Testament. What have we learned about Paul? He does not lie. Therefore, we can trust what he quotes is the truth. Go to verse 8 of the book of Galatians. It's not that far from verse 6. You got it? Read with me. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached beforehand the gospel to Abraham, saying what? In thee shall all be blessed. Now, keep your finger on Galatians 3:8. Go to Genesis 12:3. Keep your finger on Galatians 3:8 and go to Genesis 12:3. When you have Genesis 12:3, let me know. All right. Now, before we read Genesis, read for me the last two lines of Galatians 3:8. In thee shall all of the earth be. Read the last part of Genesis 12:3. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. What do you notice? Paul is quoting from where? He quotes from Psalm. He quotes from Genesis. And from other books. We can't go through all. What did we learn about Paul? Can we trust what he quoted? Yes. What's our subject? Here's a man who doesn't lie. But the Bible says all scripture is given how? Inspiration of God. In other words, God breathed. What's the power of the inspiration? Tell me. The Holy Spirit. Who tells Paul to write what he wrote? The Holy Spirit. Which means if Paul doesn't lie, he obeyed the Holy Spirit perfectly in his writing. Okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15. It's 2 minutes to five. I'll try, my limit is 5:30. I'll try to stop before that without rushing the Holy Ghost. Let me pray again. Father, as I continue speaking to those whom you love, speak through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What book did I say? What chapter? Verse 45. When you have it, say amen. Read my version for me. What does it say? And so it is written. The first man, Adam, was made what? A living soul. Stop. Where is Paul quoting from? The creation story. Keep your finger on 1 Corinthians 15, 45. Do not lose it. Now, go to Genesis 2, verse 7. Genesis 2, verse 7. I hope you don't mind that I ask you to look at all these verses. You see, when I leave Nigeria, and you remember this, I want you to remember this man gave us what? Thus saith the Lord. Not my views. Are you with me? I want you to witness I gave you because I asked you to read with me. Do you have Genesis 2, verse 7? Do you have a finger on 1 Corinthians 15, 45? Listen again to 1 Corinthians 15, 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Now, listen to Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became what? A living soul. That's where Paul is quoting from. Paul believed in creation and the way humanity was formed from dirt. So the first man, Adam, was made a living soul when God breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. What have we learned about Paul? He doesn't lie. Let me show you again. Not only did he say it, but he takes a scholarly approach to establish the fact he is not lying. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. You're already there, actually. Let's read from verse 3. Someone should say, slow down. You're not saying it. When I leave, I'll tell people back home, Nigerians are not cooperative. They're handsome, but not cooperative. All right. What book did I say? What chapter? Let's read from verse 3. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins, finish that verse. According, in other words, the Old Testament predicted it. That's what it means. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, finish the verse, according to the scripture. Now, we already found out we can trust Paul's quoting of the Old Testament. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Are you with me? Now, who saw Christ when he rose so far? Look at what you read. Cephas, who's Cephas? Peter. Cephas and who? The 12. How many people are those? All right, 12, 13. All right. Now, we go to the next verse. After that, he was seen of what? Above 500 brethren. The next few words are key. What is that? At once. Of the whom? The greater part remain unto the present, but some are falling asleep. Now, 500, what's the greater part of 500? You statisticians tell me, you actuarial scientists. What's the greater part of 500? Let's say 300. Let's be nice, 300. Paul says there are 300 plus the 12. Cephas and the apostles, you read that? Now let's go to the next verse. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, because Christ had more than 12. So we have a few hundred people who saw the risen Christ. Now, Paul is writing that because he knows there are people alive who can check what he said and say, that's not what we saw. No, you're wrong. But no one said that. Paul wants you and me to know there were people around when I was writing who could have said he's wrong. No one did. Why? Because Paul, come on, does not lie. K Can you trust what Paul has written, yes or no? Why is that yes so weak? Yes. Did he quote from the Old Testament, yes or no?
Yes.
Can you trust what he quotes?
Yes.
Did he trust the Old Testament? Yes. Now, let's read verse 47 of 1 Corinthians 15. What's our subject? When I ask a question, I get most of the responses from this side. What's the problem? I'm serious. Most of the responses from this side. I want you quiet. Next time I ask a question, I want to hear from God's people on this side. Is that reasonable? Say yes.
Yes.
All right. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. Do you have that?
Yes.
Read it. What does that say? The first man is what? Of the earth. Come on. Earthy. What does that mean, of the earth? Listen to the Bible. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Paul is saying the first man, Adam, was made from the earth. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Okay. We've seen that Paul trusts the Old Testament and what he wrote was absolutely reliable. Fine. Now, let's look at the Old Testament. Verse 7 of chapter 2 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Let me say quickly, the only way to trust God is to trust his word. You can't trust God and doubt his word. We trust God by trusting his word. The Bible says Christ is the word, and Christ and the Father are one. You cannot doubt this and trust God. Having said that, Genesis 2:7, mankind was made from the dust. Now, go to Genesis 3. We'll read from verse 17. As we continue, you can trust God. It's 5 minutes after 5. Do you have Genesis 3? We read from verse... I told you, keep quiet. On that side. Do you have Genesis 3?
Yes.
What verse? 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Now, 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Read the next few words. Till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art. Keep reading. And unto dust. Now the Bible says we become dust at death. We go back to dust, decomposition, we become dust. Why do we go back to dust? Well, before you answer that, if you go to any graveyard and dig up a grave that has been there for a while, what will you find? Dirt and some bones that take a long time. Dirt. You dig up the grave of a dog, what will you find? Dirt. Now, is the Bible correct about what happens after you die? Yes or no? Yes, you can prove it. Go to any graveyard. Now, if the Bible is right about how we end, can it be right about how we began? Yes. How did we begin? From dirt. Let me appeal to you, you reasonable people. If the Bible is right about how we end, is it not right about how we begin? Yes. And a man who doesn't lie believes it. Which means, what's our subject? You can trust God. Anything God says, you can trust. We don't realize the terrible crime it is to doubt God. I'll be telling you some things from tomorrow and onward. You will have to trust God to accept them. Let me say again what I just said previously. We do not realize the crime we commit by not trusting God. Go to 1 John 5. Let's read verse 9. First John 5. We read from verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, read with me, the witness of God is? For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness wherein himself. He that believeth not God hath... Come on, read loudly. He that believeth not God, come on, hath made him a liar. This is very serious. There are Christians in church every weekend calling God a liar. Now, listen to me carefully. The Bible says the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. You say Sunday. Have you made God a liar? Yes. Because you don't believe what he said. Now, let's go one level deeper in this crime against divinity. Go to John 8:44. Quickly. John 8:44. 10 after 5. You're still not telling me to go slowly. Don't know what I have to do, but I'll try to think of something. What book did I say? John, what chapter? What verse? 44. God bless you for trying. I like that. God bless you. I'm noticing. All right. Are you there? Let's read. Before we read, let me pray. God, please speak through me. I'm very serious. Speak through me. And slow me down. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Listen to Jesus talking to church members. Talking to whom? Church members. Not Gentiles, Jews. Listen to what he says. Ye are of your father. Which means God is not the father of everybody. And the lusts of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of himself. Read the next few words. According to Christ, that's fine. According to Christ, who is the ultimate liar? The devil. Now, go back to 1 John 5 verse 10. 1 John 5 verse 10. And somebody needs to say to God, I'm sorry. Do you have 1 John 5 verse 10? Read for me, what does that say? He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God. Read now. Wait a minute. When we don't believe God, we make him a liar. But who did Jesus say is the liar? Then what are we calling God when we don't believe him? The devil. To doubt God is to call him a liar. You see, God's reputation is based on his word. The Bible opens with the word. And God said, let there be light. Tell me the next few words. And there was light. Which means this word can be, come on, loud, it can be trusted. It begins with the trustworthiness of God's word. And God said, let there be light. There was light. I can trust this. Now the Bible says, if you doubt that, you're calling God a liar and you're calling him the devil. If you're aware of that's what you've been doing, you ought to stop before you leave this building or wherever you are online. Stop calling God a liar by not believing his plainly spoken word. Listen to me, at the risk of offending, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, not the first. Go to James 4, let's read verse 12. James chapter 4, James was a half-brother of Jesus. He ought to know something about Christ. Here's what he says, James chapter 4, verse 12. You have James chapter 4. Verse 12, read it microscopically. What does it say? Stop. There is one lawgiver. Stop. One. All right, now that you've taken a deep breath, who is that? God. Now, God said the seventh day is the Sabbath. Another lawgiver said the first day is the Sabbath. Not God. Another lawgiver. But scripture recognizes one lawgiver. That's God. He said the seventh day is the Sabbath. If you're following another day, you are obeying another lawgiver. Someone in competition with Christ. And he that is not with me, come on, is against me, even though he's in church. Let me be direct. Stop regarding Sunday as the Sabbath. It is not the Sabbath. Go ask your priest, your bishop, your prophet, as some people call themselves, your whatever. Is Sunday the Sabbath based on Bible text? The person will say no. And if you say, why do we keep it? The person will say, because Jesus rose on that day. He rose on that day. But as for a text that says, keep that day in honor of my resurrection, you can't find it. My brothers and sisters, when God tells you to do something, just do it or leave God alone. But God loves you. He wants to save you. People think that God is senile because he waits and waits. God knows how terrible his punishment is. And so he is reluctant to pour it out. So he keeps begging. He keeps begging, come to me in obedience. He knows how terrible his punishments are. If you don't believe me, ask the residents of Sodom and Gomorrah. He knows that. And so he's unwilling to unleash his punishment. And so he waits. And he waits. And he lingers. Because the Bible says he is not willing, tell me, that any should perish. There's a verse in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? God seems puzzled. Why are you deliberately pursuing a path that leads to death? Why? Why do you keep observing Sunday when there's no biblical support for it? And I have to be blunt. What time is it? 5:15. I have 15 minutes. Let me pray again. Father, I don't want to be hard on your people, but it's better to be hard on them and save them than to be soft and see them lost. But if I seem hard, let me be hard by speaking truth. But remind them that underneath this so-called hardness is my love for them. I want them and their children saved. Now, be with me as I close this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to Exodus 32. What's our subject? You can trust God. Exodus 32. You can trust God when he says the seventh day is the Sabbath. Paul believed it, and Paul did not lie. Do you have Exodus 32? And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered together unto Aaron and said, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as to this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. He was in the mountain with God. They hadn't seen him. They wanted a visible God. No faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. They wanted a visible God. And Moses said unto the people, break off all the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. This golden calf, that's your God. Now, this is led by Aaron, the high priest. Aaron, the spiritual leader, are you with me? The head of the church. Verse 5, and when Aaron saw it, what did he do? What's the purpose of an altar? Give me one word, starts with W.
Worship.
He built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said what? Read it, nice and loud. Tomorrow, come on, is a feast. But what was about to happen tomorrow? Idol, come on.
Worship.
To whom did Aaron dedicate it?
To God.
Who said in the second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image? Now, was this a church service? Yes or no? Yes. Did God accept it? Because it was in violation of commandment 1 and commandment 2. Commandment 1 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. In verse 4, the leader said, these be thy gods. Verse 6 of Exodus 32. Read with me. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and what's the other one? Peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, keep that in your mind. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They call it worship. By the way, when Moses and Joshua were coming down out of the mountain and Joshua heard the worship, what did he think was going on? A war. That's how some churches worship. It sounds like a war. Moses said, no, it's not a war. They're worshiping. Jeez. When your worship sounds like a war, we've got a problem. Now, read verse 6 again. And the people sat down to, come on, and rose up to, keep that in your mind. Go to 1 Corinthians 10 as quickly as you can. 20 after 5. You're still not telling me slow down, so I will blame you. As much as I like you, I'll blame you. You look as if you can take it. 1 Corinthians 10, we read from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all under the sea. And it all, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And it all eat the same spiritual meat. And it all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Finish the verse. Who led the Israelites through the wilderness?
Christ,
yes. The Christ of the New Testament is the God of the old. Verse 5. But with many of them, come on. God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, what's overthrown mean? Destroyed. Now, keep verse 5 in mind. But with many of them, God. Give me a name for that God.
Christ
was not well pleased, and they were overthrown, destroyed in the wilderness. Now, what was it that displeased Christ? Let's go to 6. Now, these things are our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also. In other words, don't do what they did. Now, who's writing that? Paul. What do we know about Paul?
He does a lot.
Paul said, don't do what the Israelites did. Now, here's an example of one of the things they did. Verse 7. Read with me. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written. Finish the verse. Sat down to, and where did you read that? Exodus 32, verse 6. Paul is referring to the worship of that golden calf. He said, don't do that. Now, it was offered to God. Paul said, don't do it. Why? It was offered in disobedience. Go to verse 9 of Exodus 32, quickly. Verse 9, Exodus 32. For those of you online, no one is checking me. I just like to keep time. For those of you online, you're wondering why I keep looking at my watch. I don't like to delay people too long. These are students. They have to get back to study chemistry and astrology and maybe the Bible. So I don't want to keep them back too long. Okay. What book did I say? Let's go back to Exodus 32. Let's read verse 9 and 10. Do you have 9? What does 9 say? And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a, give me another word for stiff-necked, hard-headed, stubborn, yes. Give me another word, that's I. Quickly. Disobedience. I give you A for Adventist. Yes. Disobedience. I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff neck. They will not do what I say. Now, verse 10, carefully. Now, therefore, read with me. Get out of my way, that I may, that my wrath may what? Wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee. God said, Moses, step out of the way, and let me destroy these people. They were violating commandment 1, which says what? They're violating commandment 2, which says what? Now, if God wants to destroy them for that, what will he do for those who violate 4? I'm talking to myself. Am I talking to myself? Are you listening? Is God a fair God? Yes. If he wanted to destroy them for violating commandment 1, if he wanted to destroy them for violating commandment 2, what is his response for violating commandment 4? The same thing. The only difference is he'll do it at the second coming. If God does not destroy Sunday keepers, who know better? What did I say? Who know better? He will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah and the Israelites whom he overthrew in the wilderness. Listen to me as I close. Someone told me don't drop the Bible on the desk. Sorry. You deliberately disobey God, you'll be destroyed. Because God has a very serious view of sin. The reason why? Sin caused his son to suffer. We don't think of Calvary. We just think, well, this, if I obey God, I'm inconvenienced. I have to give up my job on Sabbath. Get rid of that boyfriend who's not a believer. We think of us. We don't think that sin still hurts Christ. What's our subject? When God says the 7th day of the Sabbath, can you trust that? Yes or no? Yes. Stop keeping Sunday as the Sabbath. You have no biblical authority at all. What you may get from your pastor or your leader is a lot of gymnastic, whatever. Mm-hmm. You see, God functions A to B. When you try to justify error, you've got to go around in circles like a snake. May I ask you a question? I'll ask you only if you'll answer me honestly. Will you answer honestly?
Yes.
Do you love God?
Yes.
How does he ask you to show him?
Yes.
Obey. Those of you who say, Father, this message has troubled me. Give me a heart to obey you. Stand with me. Let me talk to my guests who are not Seventh-day Adventists. It is not Seventh-day Adventists that say the seventh day is the Sabbath. It is the Bible. Are you with me? It is not Seventh-day Adventists that say the soul that sinneth it shall die. It is the Bible. You've got to blame someone, blame God, not me. But if I don't speak the truth, I get into trouble with God. Obey God. Obey God. In the presence of a holy God, obey God. You will never, you may suffer a little bit. Yes, because the devil does not like those who disobey God. Who obey God? He likes the disobedient. So he harasses you. But you have a Savior who has promised, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And in the Bible, the right hand means power and victory. That's why Christ sits where? On the right hand of God, having conquered sin. This coming Saturday, we have a service right here. I want all my non-Adventist friends to come. Now, let me talk to my non-Adventist friends. How many of you will come this Saturday? Let me see your hand. God bless you. Let me see another hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I know you're taking time to think. You're looking around to see who's watching you. My non-Adventist friends, how many will come this coming Saturday? Let me see your hand. God bless you. God bless you. I believe you'll keep your word. Jesus and I will wait for you. The most blessed life you can live is an obedient life. Now you're thinking, if I come on Sabbath, what will my friends say? What will my family say? What will my boyfriend say? What will Jesus say if you don't come? Let's pray. Father, only Christ can preach a perfect sermon, and I am not Jesus. So where I fell short, forgive me. Now God, take my weak, meager effort. Through your Spirit's agency, Lord, apply it to someone's heart as a needle to produce the pinprick of conviction. Father, there are people who need to be released from error. It is not easy, but it is your will. Please, God, for those who did not raise their hands because they were shy or afraid, work on them because you love them. Bring them this coming Sabbath. For those online, do the same for them, that they may come to a place where they are now to worship on Sabbath. Please, God, let your Spirit do everything he can to bring people to obedience. Because obedience is life. You have a world that's coming. No sin, no sickness, no death, no taxes, no crime, no kidnapping, no genocide, no Middle East wars, nothing of the kind, only righteousness. We cannot prepare for that world by being disobedient. And for those who don't enter that world, eh, God, the Bible says, they'll be destroyed by fire. Ah, Father, do all you can to bring them to obedience. I pray from my heart in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.